today on Real Radio.
When you see, for example, Lord of the Rings, the movies, they're very hideous. They're very scary. I think you should watch the movie if you're not prone to nightmares. Why? Because if God were to peel our eyes back right now and show us the spirit world right now, you would freak out.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Pastor Jack desires that we'd be willing, usable, and that we'd be equipped to give a response for the reason of the hope within us, Jesus Christ. Today, Pastor Jack challenges us to fight hard in defending the faith. We will be hated by the world because the world first hated Christ. Our epic struggle is against a false doctrine whose sole purpose is to keep us from loving God. The true believer must not fall victim, for the Word of God is our weapon, and the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives will keep us on the right path. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our ears, our feet, hands, our very soul to the task that's before us, and that is walking with Jesus, being faithful to the end, and, Lord, not messing up. And at the same time, being radical in this world. This world is radical for a lot of stupid things. And we play our Christianity so safe that we should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be the most loving, the most compassionate, the most outspoken, the most God-honoring people on the planet. And Lord, may we be filled more with the fear of you than of man. So Father, give us an understanding regarding our biblical worldview, what the Bible has to say about spirituality. So, Father, thank you now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn to you know where, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 in our study in the Worldview series. And tonight we're looking at our third and final points regarding spirituality. And we'll finish it up tonight. Acts chapter 17. And before we read verse 28, which is our theme verse, look at verse 16. We'll read verses 16 and 17 and then drop down to verse 28. You know this chapter pretty well by now. Verse 16, Acts chapter 17. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, that is his ministry entourage, his spirit was provoked, exasperated, brought to the brink of frustration. Within him, his soul was vexed. When he saw that the city was given over, completely enraptured with or to the worship of idols, things made with human hands. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Skip down to verse 28. His main argument brought him to this conclusion before their ears. For in him we live and move and have our being. He's talking about the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New. And to do this, that is for Paul to be an effective witness and for you and I to be an effective witness, you're going to want to jot down this verse. Paul was very good to live this out. And who's to say if Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, didn't think about Paul when he penned this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter said, "But sanctify, that is set apart, make holy, that is completely the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The words meekness and fear is also translated rightly gentleness and respect. That we as Christians are to answer people with a reasonable, logical, biblical answer. If we're biblical, listen, if we're biblical, we'll never have to apologize, honestly. If you're making stuff up and you're talking to people, then you ought to apologize. But if you're biblically based on your answer and your worldview about somebody asking you, "Hey, what's with war? What's with starvation? What's with evil? What's with sin? What's with violence and your God or your Bible? How does your Bible answer these issues? Social injustice or whatever it might be, abortion. Then you ought to be able to answer them with meekness or gentleness and with respect, but by all means you answer them. And with that, I want to say that the Christian faith, listen, is a militant faith. And I want to define that for a second. I've said often before that the Puritans, our pilgrim fathers, for example, who came out of England, Bradford and John Robinson and Brewster, all these guys, they're of the separatist movement. And they had an understanding that the church exists in one of two places at the same time. Because the church is a spiritual organism. It has the ability to dwell on earth, and it has the ability to also be in heaven. Because when believers die, where do they go? They go to heaven. And they're members of the church, and so are you. But the church is not divided. Mark this. They viewed the church this way, and I agree. That there's the church that is militant. And they said, that's the church that's on earth. They're in a hostile environment. The church is in a difficult, unbelieving world. And we've got a job to do. And it's hard. And we are people who are often in the crosshairs of an unbelieving world. And then there's the church triumphant. And those are the believers who have died and gone on to glory with Jesus. And as a church, you are either here, activated to the glory of God. You've been deployed into this world. You are with Jesus tonight, occupying enemy territory, and you're advancing the kingdom of God as a Christian, or you're in heaven. And from that very concept, we get the biblical understanding that if you're not in one place or the other and you're a believer, then you're backslidden. You're in a backslidden state. You are knowing Jesus, but you're not walking with Jesus. And so that's a very, very interesting and also dangerous thing. But notice in the Bible, church, as we get into this tonight, notice in the Bible regarding the Christian experience that it is often portrayed in Scripture in the aspects of the theater of war. Have you noticed that? For example, we are warring against, for example, it says that we fight against the devil. We are warring against principalities and powers, and that's what we're going to learn about tonight. Demonic activities, and what's the difference, for example, between fallen angels and demons, and what role do they play in my Christianity? We war against things that we can't see regarding its origin. We can often see its manifestation in the physical realm, but what's going on behind that? The Bible says, for example, and we'll see it tonight, that we are to be suited up in armor. The Bible tells us that we are of a kingdom and that there's a great dragon. And we're fighting this dragon and his cohorts. Have you ever looked at the Bible that way? Have you ever thought about it? Now look, I don't want to freak you out. And if my computer would have been working right, I would have showed you this evening, because I really wanted to get you in the spirit of it all. I wanted to show you some clips out of some of the most recent Lord of the Rings movies regarding J.R. Tolkien. And I don't know if you know anything about J.R.R. Tolkien, but he was a World War I Christian. He was a believer. And he saw the battles between the nations in World War I. He saw them in their true light. He didn't see Germany necessarily warring against England or anything like that. He saw that what must have been going on were demonic powers that were driving the leaders of these nations to go to war and do the things that they were doing, because he viewed powers behind the physical realm. And that's exactly true. That's a great, great picture. And so when you see, for example, Lord of the Rings, the movies taken from the book, they're very hideous. They're very scary. And you say, you shouldn't promote things like that. You're a pastor. You shouldn't even say things like that. I think you should watch the movie if you're not too young. I think you should watch the movie if you're not prone to nightmares. Why? Because if God were to peel our eyes back right now and show us the spirit world right now, you would freak out. The things that are around us and the things that come after us in this world as believers. Listen to this. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you," Jude says, "concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith." Those are not little sweet words. To fight hard, relentlessly, to maintain and to defend the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. Isn't that amazing? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus said it this way, that if you do this, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Did you know that? How many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hands. If you're Christians, you will be hated by this world. You sure you want to raise your hands? The world will hate you because they hated Jesus first. You associate with Christ and the world's going to come after you. You not only have a cross on your chest, you've got a target on your back. But that's okay. And you'll see the reasons why tonight. John 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own." Boy, isn't that true? The world loves its own people, doesn't it? "Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Verse 20, "Remember the word that I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Strong words to the believer. In our previous studies on these arguments regarding our worldview and spirituality, you can look at the studies later on. But number one, we looked at this warning, and that was failing to recognize what you are. You are a spiritual creation. Number two, we looked at the warning that we could be refusing to consider the obvious, that we are involved in an epic struggle between heaven and hell, that this world and this earth has a purpose, and your existence has a purpose. Thirdly, last time we ended here, this warning, making certain that you're on the right road. And we talked about how demonic powers are the authors and the originators of false doctrine. And we talked about that, false doctrine. Be very careful. Listen, I heard something recently that really concerns me, that a lot of professing Christians don't read their Bibles. You know what? Listen, I promise you this, based upon the Bible. This is not my promise. This is my observation from the Bible. If you are not knowing the Word of God, you will absolutely fall victim to the occult or to cult teaching. Why? Because you are a spiritually minded person and you've got no anchor, you got no rudder, and you claim Christianity, but you've got no knowledge of it, and you are ripe pickings for the enemy. The Bible is your only hope to discern what is right or wrong in the spiritual arenas, spiritual theaters, that is, making certain you're on the right road. Okay, here we go. This is where we left off last time. Number four, we'll do number four tonight and number five, and we'll wrap this up. Number four, warning. Staying focused on the main thing. Write that down, would you? We need to stay focused on the main thing regarding this little series on our worldview. And what is that? It is Satan's demonic agenda, which is devoted to your destruction. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that as we go into this. A moment ago, almost all of you, if not all of you, raised your hands regarding being a Christian. Okay, if that's true, know this. According to the Bible, Satan has lost your soul. Do you understand that? He's lost your soul. He will not, if you're a real Christian, he has lost your soul and he cannot get that back. You were a gem that was, in fact, how about this? You were like a lump of coal in the crown of Satan, and the Holy Spirit plucked you from his crown and made you, as it were, a diamond in a rough. He made you a beautiful thing, and he placed you, as it were, in the glorious, victorious crown of Christ and of his great salvation. You've been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. Listen, are you listening? A lot of people in denominations talk about this stuff, once saved, always saved. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? I hate that term. Well, do you think you can lose your salvation? I hate that term. I hate that saying. You want to know why? The whole question is flawed. The question is flawed from the get-go. Let me put it to you this way. Are y'all listening? Because I'm feeling like a fight tonight. Jesus said, and if we have the time, we'll read it in Matthew chapter 13. You can jot it down and study it later. Jesus said that there are those who believe for a while, but then Satan comes and steals the word out of their lives by either persecution or the cares of this life, and he gives various arguments as to how that can happen. Jesus makes it very clear. These are they who believe for a while. Question, how long is a while? Answer, we don't know. No way to answer it. But they believe for a while. Could be a lifetime, could be half a lifetime, could be a week, could be 6 months. The point is, listen, they only believed in Jesus Christ. They never came to faith in Christ. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the true meaning of the word is to put your weight upon Christ. You trust him with your salvation. You trust him to wash away your sins, and you experience what's called regeneration. That is, the Holy Spirit moves into your life and you become a brand new creation. Okay? That is faith, not just belief, but faith. If you've been born again, you cannot be unborn again. So listen, this talk about once saved, always saved, let me put this out there and you guys start saying it or asking it this way. Do you believe once born again, always born again? Answer, you bet. Because there's no way in Scripture that you can be unborn again. The question is, were you ever born again to begin with? That's the issue. Are you with me? And the Bible makes it very clear, because Satan's plan is to take the believer, that's us, who he has lost forever. And the next thing is to destroy your witness. Why? He wants to sterilize every Christian from reproduction. How do Christians reproduce? By opening their mouth and saying something and doing the same thing. That's a witness. I believe in Jesus, watch how I live. I believe in Jesus, watch how I walk in this world. I believe in Jesus. Examine my lifestyle. Listen, Satan hates that power that you have. And he wants to sterilize you. And so what he does is he tries to get you to mess up. And when that happens, now he's got you sitting off in the corner, shriveled up. Yeah, you're going to heaven, but your witness has been neutralized. Are you with me? So as believers tonight, be careful. If you're not a believer tonight, either you are not a believer at this very moment, no doubt, because the Bible says the God of this world has blinded your eyes. Satan's blinded you. Or maybe the scales are starting to come off your eyes, like Paul on his way to Damascus. It happened to him. But we want to be very careful that we stay focused on the fact, Christians I'm speaking to, that Satan wants to destroy your witness. And he'll use anything to do it. Don't think for a moment that you'll say to yourself, man, I'm really strong in this area. I'm never going to fall in that area. Don't ever say that. The Bible warns us, Paul warns us, the Apostle Paul. He says that very thing that we think we're strong in, be careful lest we fall. Be very wise, be very careful. And we'll see the reasons why tonight. The Christian faith is a militant faith. A very rare verse in the Bible, not often quoted, not often even studied, but it is excellent. Matthew 11:12, Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You say, what does that mean? What are you saying? Jesus is saying that, of course, John the Baptist was beheaded. He was killed for his witness. The kingdom of God is under attack, Jesus is saying. But those that are advancing the violent, not violent like mean, those that are responding to the violence of the world, the activated, spirit-filled Christian is taking it by force. The kingdom of God is advancing in a very hostile world. This is that whole thing about militant. What do you mean militant? Share your faith. Love people. You want to freak out the world? Love somebody. Do you know anybody? Huh? Raise your hand if you know somebody you don't like. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. The Bible says to love them. Say, man, I can't stand them. That's right. Say, Lord, I can't stand that person. He already knows the truth. And then say, Lord, give me your love for them so I can freak them out with your love. And love them. A couple of verses here right now. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Can you imagine somebody in Iraq right now running around and he's got his Nintendo playing a game while he's in a battle? Or he's got the popcorn popper going on while he's shooting a... No! He's fighting for his life. Nobody entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Vitally important. Stay focused on the fact, Christian, that you are in a hostile environment. And we need to just wake up right now. We need to wake up and stop trying to hold hands with the world and sing kumbaya with people who would kill your Jesus if Jesus were to come back today. They'd kill him again. Oh, let's just all have this big prayer meeting. Come on. Well, who are you? Well, we're the this and we're the those and we're the that's and the this and we pray to rocks. But let's have a prayer meeting. And we pray to totem poles and we pray to Jell-O. And then you can come too. You can bring your God. And we'll all have this prayer meeting. Let me ask you, does that even, what? The Bible says no to this. The Bible says don't do that. Why? God's not going to show up at that meeting like that. Union, ecumenical, coming together, let's just make it one. The Bible says there are demonic doctrines behind what those sweet people believe. Did you know that? But they're so nice. I mean, they're so nice. We're not talking nice. We're not talking how sweet they are. Behind it. Look behind. Number 5. You see, we just got started. I know, number 5 will be here for the rest of the night. Number 5, our biblical worldview and spirituality. 5th and final warning is being sure about loving God. So, well, that doesn't sound very dynamic coming to the conclusion. Are you kidding me? This is the greatest thing of all. You love God and you examine your heart and I examine my heart right now about loving God. Do I love God? Really? Do we love God? As a church, do we love God? Are we more concerned? Do we worry about what people think? Are we worried about what this, if I put into practice this verse in my life, you know, what will people think? Or man, if I do this, you know what? What's my flesh gonna do? When we love God, we're all out. It's all out Jesus. Listen, when we love him, we are free. When we love him, you are set loose. You are unfettered. And we know this, every one of us in this room know this, that when you love, you're crazy. See, well, love what? What? Oh, well, what is it? Who is it? Just on the human level. Oh man, I'm so in love with her. Oh, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. Oh, she's the best. And the things, well, how do you know you love her? And then the guy will go on for an hour. You couldn't get the guy to talk. But now he can't, he won't be quiet about her. Oh, this and oh, that. And, well, I just love him. He's just a, and she'll go on for an hour about attributes that no one else can see, but she can see them. Benjamin Franklin said, it's true, love is blind, and you need to go into marriage with both eyes wide open. And he said, after you say I do, keep one eye shut. That's not good counsel, but he said it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Part 3. Thanks for listening to today's message. Pastor Jack wants to encourage you with this hope that with prayer, with living a holy life, and being consistent with the Lord, you will have a keen weapon against the present evils of life. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.